We're in our family. Look at the hands go up. And I'm going to need a little help, Darla, because I can't jump up and down. We're in a family series. And by the way, I need to hold this up real quick while I'm doing this, and we'll get to the word here just in a moment. It's called an Adventure Parenting Seminar. It is the first Saturday of April. Lee and Jody Metcalf will be teaching it. I'm not just saying, it's 10 to 3. It's 10 bucks a piece. That's just for the meal where we can eat here. And we're providing child care for the older kids and child care for the babies. And we're going to pay for all of it because I believe it's an investment in our families. And so, amen. You won't want to miss it. I'm telling you, I truly believe it will be life-changing. So put it on your calendar. And but back to family matters. We're going to be in our family series a few more weeks. And let's see, honey, I'm getting ready to give it to you. How you like that? Come on, then. You got the little guy. I think Trip and Tanya's little guy may have already outgrown this the way he's growing. But y'all could have another one or two. That'll be okay. Okay, here's the deal, though. He has to wear it next Sunday. Okay, he will. Okay. Super duper duper. We're going to need, and you got to wear them next Sunday. And maybe next series we're going to print t-shirts for everybody. And we'll wear t-shirts to church. Oh, dear Lord. You remember when you had to wear a coat and tie and all that? This is a female small. We are family. First hand up right back there. Come on, Tanya. You have to wear it next week. Now, you're always dressed to the nines. You think you can handle a t-shirt? You have a perfect skirt, a matching skirt already. Of course you do. And your hair will match, I'm sure, tomorrow. Love that girl's hair. She's old. What is this one, honey? Is this a female? A female medium. We are family. All right, honeymooner. They just got back from their honeymoon. You got to wear it next week. Oh. We didn't get any men.
They didn't have any.
No men? This is a medium little boy. We are family. Could be a little girl. Oh. Okay, come on, Leticia. Let's give Mama a hand. Praise the Lord. Who'd like to win a $20 bill? I mean, I'm serious. You already got the t-shirt, sorry. Come on, young whippersnapper. Yeah, I've been proselytizing. I want this young couple to come to our church. There's no pressure. Don't worry about that. Okay, watch this. I want you to, hey, you could hop up here, I bet, without even going up the steps. Oh, boy, that hurt me just watching do that. All right, there's that. All right. I promise we're not going to get messy. I wouldn't do that to you. You better not do it to me. I'll kick you out of the church before you ever make this to church. What is it? No, it's toothpaste. Crest. I've never done this.
I haven't eaten.
Don't worry, you're not going to have to eat it.
Oh, that's good.
You'd probably do it for the Lord, though, wouldn't you?
I might.
Well, wait a minute. You're going to do it for $20, but you won't do it for Jesus? I don't know.
I felt that one.
He's feeling it. Don't fall out on me. I know the power of God's strong up here. But okay, now, I'm going to leave the lid off of this, and you cannot cut this container open in any way. If you can take that toothpaste and put it back in the tube, I'll give you $20. Let's give him a hand. Today in our family message, we're going to talk about encouraging words. That toothpaste is not going back in. Once we say things, we can't take it back either. What we speak and what we say and the words we use are vital. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say, don't we? Has anybody ever done that except for me? Have you ever shot your proverbial foot off? I mean, you said something. It was negative. It was critical. It was whatever. And it was said towards somebody. And you can't take it back. Now, I love the two words, I'm sorry. Thank God for apologies. Amen? I'm sorry. But you know what? Sometimes those cruel words hang on forever. You could, and maybe there's some of you here this morning that you wish you hadn't have said what you said, maybe even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 15 days ago. Some of you driving to church 15 minutes ago. We say things and they hurt. You know, there's the old child saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's not true. It's never been true. And I know that I know because I've been in the ministry now for over 30 years. Some of the most difficult situations I've been in is trying to help people heal from wounded words. Some of you this morning have been not only a giver of those negative words, but a recipient of those words. And you may be here this morning and it's wounded you. It's caused you to think less of yourself than you should. I hate the word stupid. I've had to pray with so many people in their 30s and 40s and 50s and even 70s because their parents or one of their parents or an authority figure called them stupid all their life. Well, I want you to know this morning, and we sing about it, Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. And if you've been wounded by negative words, He's here to heal your broken spirit. And He can do it. And I'm all for counseling, and we need more Christian counseling and those that are filled with the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to counsel. But the counseling can only take us so far. It's the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can heal us when we've been maimed and wounded from words. And I believe the Lord is going to help there today. How many is there? I mean, maybe it hasn't lingered, but has anybody hurt you by something they've said? We've been on both sides of the fence. And so I'm hopeful today also that we would be challenged to think before we speak. Isn't that a novel idea? Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, so does the mouth speak. But wouldn't it be wise to think before we speak if words are that vital? James 3, 3 and 6 says this. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue. Say tongue. Do this. Oh, that was hurtful. Just teasing. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself is set on by the fire of hell. We're going to talk about the words we speak today. Let's talk. Number one, let's talk about words. Whoa, something just happened up here. I've got a big time ring, probably in a monitor. We've had some sound demons for 2 or 3 weeks. Not our tech people. They're doing a great job. Sometimes it's what we don't say that has potential for hurt. Psalm 141 and 3 says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Proverbs 12 and 22 said that the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. See, we have to be careful sometimes of what we don't say. Not just what we do say, but what we don't say. There's a story of a couple that had been married 25 years, and they were in a marriage counseling session, and things were going well. And this particular doctor named Dr. Hendricks said, asked the husband, when was the last time you told your wife you loved her? He noticed the husband got a little nervous and a little jittery, and he finally speaks up. He said, it was on my wedding day. I told my wife I loved her, and it still stands until I revoke it. Sometimes it's what we don't say that hurts. When's the last time you told your wife or your husband you love them? When's the last time you said it? When's the last time you told your children that you loved them? Even your adult children. When is the last time? I said, I love you, man. I say it. I say it and I mean it. And we need it. For some of you, it may have been a long time since somebody told you they love you. Can I tell you, for every individual in here, and maybe you as well, not maybe, and you as well, Jesus loves you. I'll guarantee you that. He loves you every minute of every day. So, and you've heard another old saying, and we have all these old sayings. And I try to live my life by this. I'm not perfect. But if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything at all. Can I give an amen? Amen. Just don't say anything at all. But I would like to take that a step further and say, you don't just not say anything good at all. Find something to say good to that person. We need to be more focused and more proactive. I hope this morning, and I hope before you leave, somebody has welcomed you and greeted you and honored you and loved you and spoke to you and made you feel important. James, I'm sure on the street, those down and out guys and gals, a positive word in their life lifts them up. And you say, well, they're out there on the streets and they don't deserve it. Yeah, everybody deserves to be honored, respected, and loved. That's what Jesus did for us when he died at Calvary. Even while we were yet sinners, he gave his life for us, didn't he? So everybody deserves that. And so the Lord wants us to become more honorable. He wants us to be more intentional about what we haven't been saying. I think I've mentioned this before. Don't walk by people like they're not there. And what I've noticed, especially people that are serving, the maids at the hotels, the bellboy or somebody washing cars. Well, you said I pulled in the car wash and that's what I pay him to do. Why not say, hey, young man, you did a real good job drying my car? Because sometimes it's what we don't say that hurts and maims. Darla and I have a little contest. We every day. We say, I love you, but I told you first. We need to speak those things. What about the cashier at the grocery store? Well, they're just a cashier. They're people. And so we treat them like robots. And I don't know about you, and maybe some of you have been cashiers, but after 8 or 10 hours standing behind a cashier with all the sweet, sweet people that come through the line, I'm sure they could use a word of encouragement. try this. They all wear little name badges. Say, Evelyn, I really appreciate you helping me today. Watch them light up. We need to speak up. And of course we need to speak the word of God, but we need to speak a word of encouragement, a word of a compliment, a word of building somebody up. We're living in a culture that's just so negative sometimes, and people are beating others up. Let's be the church. Let's be those that lift others up in the name of Jesus. Practice the 30-second rule. What's the 30-second rule? Find something uplifting to say to somebody the first 30 seconds you're with them. Practice it. Not only will it touch the people that you're talking to, it'll change your life. I guarantee it. So which transitions us to positive words. By the way, I'm a little tired this morning. And you're part of this mission, so I need to share it with you. Our team traveled 1,200 miles inside the state of Arizona, did 6 meetings in 5 days, and raised $134,000 more for missions. So if I'm preaching like I'm brain dead, I am. Say something positive. Ephesians 4:29 says this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Now, hold on right there. That doesn't mean just cursing. That means anything negative in the original language. Anything that's unwholesome, that's not whole, that's not complete, that's not uplifting. Do not let any unwholesome... How much unwholesome talk are you supposed to let come out of your mouth? How much? How much? Woo! We all got room for growth. All of us. But only, watch this. And here's the other side of this fence. But only what is helpful for building others up according to whose needs? Their needs. Don't speak to them based on what you need. Find out what their needs are and speak to them based on their needs. What is helpful for building up according that it may benefit those who listen, we talked about how words can tear down. What we don't say can tear down. And I just want to say it again. But good words can build up. Let me read you a poem from Dorothy Law Nolte. And the name of this poem is Children Learn What They Live. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be confident. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with praise, he learns to be appreciative. If a child lives with acceptance, he learns love. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with recognition, he learns it is good to have a goal. If a child lives with sharing, he learns about generosity. If a child lives with honesty and fairness, he learns what truth and justice are. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith in himself and in those around him. If a child lives with friendliness, he learns that the world is a nice place in which to live. If a child lives with serenity, your child will live with peace of mind. How much more could this be applied to our families and our marriages? In our workplace. So sometimes it's what we don't say. We do need to say positive things, but let's take a little longer to talk about negative words. Proverbs 10:19 says this, and we're going to read 3 scriptures really quick. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Next verse. A quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. In the next verse, as a charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. There's so many scriptures in the Word of God. Have you ever been around a person that is so negative? And just, I'm sure we all have at times, but have you ever been around a person that is so negative that when they walk in the room, the lights go dim? It's like a cloud comes in to the room, right? It's all happy, it's all light. People are feeling, here comes Joe. I hope there's no Joes in here this morning. I'm not talking about you. Oh, let's do this. Here comes Eeyore. I mean, it's terrible. It reminds me of a story. Again, I don't know why I pick husband and wives, but this lady was just really, really negative. I mean, she saw the cup half empty, not half full. What about you? When the cup is right there with water, do you tend to see it half empty or half full? Because we really don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. And we usually speak accordingly. And once you've said something negative, you can't take it back. So this lady's husband has struggled all her life, all his life and her life, and just done so many things to try to get her to become a more positive person. And so he said, "Why don't you go duck hunting with me?" Well, she wanted to go duck hunting for a long time. And so he takes his wife duck hunting with her dog. And here comes the ducks. Bang! And got the duck. It falls right in the middle of the lake. And the dog, exceptional dog, runs on top of the water. Walks on top of the water. Goes, gets the duck, and brings it back to this guy. And the husband goes, "Now what do you think about that?" And she goes, "What's the matter? Can't the dog swim?" Man alive. Luke 6:37 says, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." Galatians 5:14 says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Another translation said, "But if you, instead of showing love among yourselves, you are always critical and catty, watch out. Beware of ruining each other." Look to your neighbor and say, "Don't be catty." Here's the rest of the poem. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. If a child lives with pity, he learns to feel sorry for himself. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with jealousy, he learns what envy is. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. Did you know that even in a child, he or she needs 7 positive statements to overcome 1 negative statement directed to them? Parents, we need to discipline our children, and I'm not teaching on that. And yes, we need guidelines, and we need consequences when our children cross guidelines. We need all that, but we need to be careful how we do it with our words. And lastly, and my favorite point of the message, is to speak the truth in love. We need to speak the truth to people, don't we? And we need to do it in love. Ephesians 4 and 15 says this. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Don't just speak the truth. Don't just speak love. Let your words be seasoned with truth and love. I read a story about a pastor in a church, and he preached on hell quite often, and we need to hear that message, don't we? Because folks without Christ are going to hell. It's just true. The Bible says it's true. They fired the pastor because he preached on hell. They hired another pastor, and this pastor preached on hell. But they kept him. And he turned out pastoring a wonderful church. You know what the difference was? The pastor they fired preached on hell and preached like he wanted his people to go to hell. The pastor they kept preached on hell, but he acted like he wanted them to go to heaven. There's nothing wrong with truth as long as it's bathed in love. I've seen a lot of preachers and even some evangelists, and I know evangelists need to stir it up. I get that. I get their call. But they preach on hell and they preach against sin like they hate the people. Jesus doesn't hate the people. He hates the sin. Jesus loves the people. Jesus loves the sinner. Jesus loves the prostitute. Jesus loves the alcoholic. Jesus loves the liar and the greedy. Jesus loves sinners. He hates sin. And if we're going to talk about hell and speak the truth, we need to make sure we do it because we love them like Jesus. What a statement. You ever heard of sodium chloride? What is it? Salt. You know, it just dawned on me, honey. I've been gone all week. Got in about midnight. What night was it? Saturday. I haven't had popcorn all week. I'm a freak. You know, I'm 3 to 5 nights on the corn. I'm telling you, man, you need to get that in your life. Popcorn's a life changer. And then I'm taking a time out. What's this got to do with anything? Nothing. Y'all need a little relief. Then I mean, and a little chocolate afterwards. Just kind of cleans the palate. Can I get an amen? Let's go to, we'll wipe Albertsons out after church. There won't be a bag of popcorn left in the whole joint. No, sodium chloride. It had something to do with something. Well, aren't you a smarty? You're a popcorn freak too. We got it going, sister. I can't wait to get home. But you know, sodium is this chemical or element, whatever they call it. I'm not a scientist. But it attaches to other elements. It's always attached to something else. It's never just by itself. Whereas chlorine is a poisonous gas. It's very poisonous. But when sodium and chlorine are combined, the result is sodium chloride, common table salt. And you know what? Salt makes just about everything better, doesn't it? Especially popcorn and French fries. That's my backup, French fries. Listen, love and truth can be like sodium and chlorine. Love without truth can be very flighty. It can be very blind. It can be blind to even sound Bible doctrine. But truth by itself can be very offensive and sometimes even poisonous. I wish I had time, and I don't this morning. I visited a church in the late 80s on the Northeast Coast that was known for hard word preaching. I like hard word. I don't mind hard word. I don't mind it as long as you tell me about grace and the solution. But with this church had a reputation, so I went to visit the church for 3 days. And they did preach the word, and they preached it hard, and they preached it true, and they preached it straight up. And it was a cult. It was one of the darkest things I've... And I've cast demons out, been involved in dark situations, seen all kind of things. It was one of the darkest environments I'd ever been in my life. Because it was all about truth and legalistic. There was no love there. There was no joy there. It was stay up late, get up early where you'd be at prayer at 4 every morning. And people were getting mentally and emotionally tired. It was dark. Truth without love can become very dark. But when you mix truth and love together, we have what Jesus called the salt of the earth. It challenges, it stretches, it affirms, it heals, it delivers, it changes people's lives. Can I get an amen on that, church? You see, and we've been talking about words today. The reason we speak words is that we value people. I believe that's when, again, when the Lord said, out of the abundance of the heart, so does the mouth speak. Is in our hearts, we need to love people. All people. Strangers. Friends. Children. Ditch diggers. Bankers, young professionals, retired seniors, people on the street, person at Circle K, the lady that cleans your hotel room. Your neighbor across the street. So if you really value people, your husband, your wife. You see, because if you really value people, you'll speak positive things into their life. Oh, sometimes it's the truth in love. Sometimes Darla has to tell me the truth. And I need to hear it. I wouldn't be half the man I am without my wife. We need to value people. This is a church that values people, but I think we can go to the next level. Where we really care about each other. And not just each other, but where we bring others into the circle. Years ago in a little small country town, little boy walks up to the old, we had the old hardware stores in. That, golly, I love going to them. And in the hardware store window was puppies for sale. How many likes puppies? How many likes cats? Don't raise your hand. I'm just teasing. Because you don't know whether I like them or not. I'm not going to say. Puppies for sale. Little boy walks in. He walks up to the store owner. He said, I noticed you got puppies for sale. And he said, yeah. He said, well, how much are you puppies? He said, anywhere from 30 to 50 bucks a piece. The little boy reached into his pocket. And he goes up to the counter. And he said, well, I got $2.37. And the owner just kind of looked down and kind of shook his head, kind of like this. And the little boy said, no, I got $2.37. Can I at least look at them? Store owner said, sure. So he goes back in the back, and out comes Mama. And behind Mama are five little puppies following Mom into the store. And then a good 4 or 5 feet behind the five little puppies is another little puppy dragging its back leg. 6 puppies. The little boy points at the crippled puppy and says, I want that one. The store owner says, you don't want that one. The little boy said, yes, sir. No disrespect. And he was very honorable and respectful. He says, I want that one. He said, son, the puppy's crippled. He said, we've already had him to the vet for their first shots. And they x-rayed that little pup, and his entire right back hip is missing. He said, that little puppy will always walk crippled on 3 legs and dragging one behind him. The little boy insisted, so finally the store owner said, well, listen, I'll give you that puppy. The little boy said, no. He said, that puppy is worth as much as the others. He said, I'll give you everything I have, $2.37. And he said, I'll pay you 50 cents a month to that puppy. He said, what is wrong with you? I said you could have it for free. He said, sir, I said that puppy was worth as much as the others. And then he pulled his britches leg up, and from his knee down, all the way down to his ankle and wrapped around, was a metal brace. And he said, that little puppy needs somebody that will walk with him and understand. That's what Jesus did for us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're crippled by sin, maimed by sin. And God the Father sent Jesus to cripple Himself on an old rugged cross to pay a debt that we owed, and rescued us from eternal damnation, washed away our sins, because He valued us and He loved us. That's why Jesus did what He did. Yes, Jesus. And that's why I sing on Sunday morning, it still burns in my heart after all these years. You worship with passion. When you live passionately for Jesus Christ. When you sing passionately because what Jesus has done for you. When you live, live passionately. And when you speak, speak like Jesus would speak. And you know the real truth about the matter? Is we're still all flawed to some degree. I'm not perfect yet. I know you're not perfect yet. We're being perfected. We're being completed as the Savior, as we walk with the Savior. But everyone is in this building, if we'd be real transparent before the Lord, all walk with a limp still. And His grace is sufficient, and His power is made perfect in our weakness. That's what Jesus does for us. Yes, He saves us forever, but He walks with us, cares for us. And you know, not only does He walk before us, a lot of times He walks behind us to clean up all our mess. Jesus is so good. He did what He did and does what He does. Because He values us. What's Jesus done in your life? He valued you even while you were yet a sinner. Tell others what Christ has done for you. Tell your story to others. Value people. Boy, I just had a wild thought. I know some of you said, what else is new, Pastor? Everybody get your cell phones out, please. Yeah, Henry said, no, he's never done this before. Hold them up. I lost mine on my tour. I was lost. Okay. And most of you text. And if you don't, then you're going to have to call right now. And somebody that's not in this room, I want you to text or call somebody and just tell them this from your heart. Hey, just want you to know I love and appreciate you. Make it short. You can use your own words. But text somebody. I'm going to do the same thing. I'll do it with you. Watch this. Love and appreciate you, girl. Talk to you soon. It's my sister. Leave a voicemail. Leave a voicemail. Kind of wave your phone like this when you sent your message. Y'all, listen, teenagers, you don't have to text a book. Just, you know, hey. Actually, it's the ladies. The ladies will text you a book. That was a negative word, wasn't it? Darla spoke back to him and said, you're being ugly. That was truth in love. Now, do this at least once a day. It's so easy now. I try to do 6, 10, 12 times a day. I try to think of somebody that I can encourage. You can do it here in 15 seconds. And it makes a difference. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. I close with this story. I didn't plan on doing this. We usually just fill the altars up and pray, and we're still going to pray for you. Is my mother-in-law, who went to be with Jesus a little over a year ago. 5 years ago, she called me on my birthday. I wasn't able to answer the phone. She let it go to voicemail, and she just said some very positive words to me very briefly. Edified me, and then she sang the birthday song, all on voicemail. So, what, 3 to 5 minute voicemail? Three minutes. That was five, that's been 6 years ago now. I kept it. Because that birthday song, she had sang to me every birthday, every one of her grandchildren, and every one of her children, for a bazillion years. Every now and then I'd listen to it. I finally, Stephen will remember this, I got him to make me a copy on a disc of Mam Mam's birthday song. A little over a year ago when she passed and experienced the ultimate birthday in heaven, we played that song. We played that voicemail. And Mam Mam sang happy birthday to every family member in that funeral home. Powerful. Words are powerful. Stand with me. For some, it's about time in a few.